All right, everyone, we'll gather back and get going. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you guys. Pastor Ben, he loves to be called Pastor Ben, by the way. So if you've just been calling him Ben, you need to insert Pastor Ben in front of his thing. He'll never tell you that, so I will. Pastor Ben is on vacation, so we bless him this week. And this week, we're going to talk about what the God has been doing through this church, through Pastor Ben, and through the ministries of this church. And so I want to invite up Ralph Veers to come up, and I'm just going to ask him a few questions, and we're going to see if what God has been doing in his life resonates with any of you. I know sometimes testimonies are really good because sometimes we can hear what God's been doing in other people's life, and we say, Lord, I want that for mine. So yeah, that's what I'm praying. That's what I'm going to pray right now with my brother, that what God has done in Ralph's life, he can do in any of ours, and, or any of our families that we've been praying for, or, so that's what I hope comes out of today is wow, God did that for Ralph. He can do it for me. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for my brother Ralph. I thank you for what you've been doing in his life. And I just pray right now, Lord, that you would be able to speak, that you'd be sitting here between me and Ralph, guiding the conversation to people's hearts, and so that people can find hope, and that you would be glorified in what you've done in this man's life. I pray this in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Ralph, I just wanted to kind of, he's got the notes, folks. I wanted Ralph to kind of give us a brief testimony of his life up until kind of where God kind of intervened. So a lot of you guys don't maybe know Ralph's story. So Ralph, why don't you fill us in on how your life shaped up?
First, I'm going to say that the only reason I'm sitting here is because of the grace of God. As you listen to my story, I pray, that's my prayer today, that somewhere somebody in here will be uplifted, will walk out of here full of hope. And it's all because of the grace of God. So my dad died when I was two. And 3 years later, my mom married a farmer out of Wimborne. And I was five at that time, and for the next 12 years, I went through a life of physical and mental abuse. And I was a very bitter and angry young man. The very bright spot in my life was Mom was a Christian, and she sent me to a Bible camp up at Barrhead. And there I accepted the Lord as my Savior, and I was about 10 or 12 years old. So it didn't, when Jesus came into my life then, it just felt like the whole weight of the world was gone. I never felt such joy in my life. But after that, still the physical, the mental abuse that I went through, there was times when I'd stand at in the yard of our house, and we had a long lane, and I would stand there at night sometimes, just trying to cook up the courage to walk down that lane and never come back. But I never could drum up the courage. So when I left the farm, I was a man that was just, I had drifted away from the Lord. And my life was nothing but obsessed with fast cars, sex, and alcohol. That's all that life meant to me. And for the next 4 years or so, I was in and out of jail. The last time I was before a judge, he told me, he said, I'm going to recommend you go to a mental institute. Because he said, I'm scared the next time I see you, it's going to be for a far serious crime. So he said, I'm recommending it. You don't have to go. But he said, I highly recommend it to you. So I went there. It was a place called Oliver. It's just on the east side of Edmonton. And there I was there for 10 months, and there they break you down. They showed me why I was like I was. And when I left there, I was a way different individual. I was strong in myself, but nothing other than staying away from jail, nothing changed. My life was still full of fast cars, sex, and alcohol. That's just all it was. And but then, you know, as I look back, I see now God, how God was working in my life. And I just happened to be driving by Joyce, just lived, my wife just lived down the road from where I grew up, and I seen her car there one day, and I thought, I haven't seen Joyce for a long time, and I thought, well, I'll stop in and see her. And now, 47 years later, by the grace of God, she is my best friend, my beautiful, wonderful wife. I should get brownie points for that at home. And, you know, we grew up, we raised two boys, Sean and Greg. And Sean right now is living in Chestermere. Greg, our youngest son, is here in Red Deer. And through my married life, by the Lord's grace, I started a successful career in the oil field. Later on, Joyce and I started our own business, and that was successful. But as time went on, I lost everything. I lost the desire to be with friends. I lost the desire even to be with family, and my marriage was just a routine. And I was really spiraling downhill and basically spending most of the time in my garage. I didn't want to talk to anybody. My wife, we go and get together for supper or breakfast, dinner, go our separate ways again. That was our marriage. And then my sister in Montreal invited me to join her over Zoom, an Alpha group. And at first I said no. She's my sister, so, well, okay, I'll do this, sis. So after about 4 or 5 weeks in the course, strange things started happening. And I would feel torn between two spots, and it felt like God was on this shoulder, the devil was on this shoulder, and I'm in the middle. And I distinctly remember being spoken to and to get on my knees and start praying. And I discussed this with my sister, and over the course of the next few weeks, a video where they play three videos, and they're called the Holy Spirit videos. And it really spoke to me. And from there, it progressed to where Shaldina and I, over Zoom, I asked the Lord to come back into my life. But it never really meant anything to me. I expected bells and whistles and, oh, great, look at this, and there was nothing. It was just, Sheldina said, how do you feel? I said, well, you know, I feel okay, but, you know, nothing really. And then one morning, not too long after, I was sitting down in my quiet time in the basement in front of my computer, and I had read Nikki Gumbel's devotion for that day. And then I went to go into my portfolio on my computer and wouldn't load. And three times I tried and it wouldn't load, but the internet was working. So I went and Sheldina had given me several links, Bible links, and I ended up on Rick Warren's podcast. And he was saying, when I got on that podcast, he was saying, and the Lord said, these people honor me with their lips and worship me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is nothing but merely human rules that they have been taught. And I thought, wow. And right then and there, a feeling came over me, an emotion came over me that I had never felt except for 10 years when I was about 10 years old. And I thought, okay, God, I got you. And then Ralph is always pushing the limits. Ralph isn't a patient man. And I'm always pushing limits. So I thought, well, maybe this is all, you know, my computer was just that the program that I was trying to get into wasn't there. So I'm going to try this again. So I tried it again. And as soon as I pushed the button to get into my portfolio, it was right there. And I'll tell you, the feeling that came into my life then was like one of you big guys here sitting here picked me up and body slammed me. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit came into my life. And I was discussing this with Sheldina, and about 4 or 5 years later, or months later, she looked at me and she said, you know, Ralph, she said, I was going to kick you out of that Alpha course. She said, your body language, your attitude, she said, I just felt that you were just distracting from the rest of the group. And she said, I went to Judy, the administrator, and I told her, she said, I'm going to kick Ralph out of here. And Judy said, no, you're not. I want to see what's going to happen. So over the course of the next few sessions of Alpha, going back a little bit, some of the people that were in the course, you know, busy lives, people are there sometimes, and some of them, the girls come back and, what happened to Ralph? What's going on with Ralph? And, you know, it's, for by grace I am saved, through faith, not from myself. It is a gift of God, and not by works that no one can boast. And that's the grace of God, friends.
Sorry, I'm going to interrupt. So, what I love about Ralph's testimony is that at Ralph's age, in my experience, most people, when they live their life to the point when they're heading into retirement, they double down on what they've believed and what they know. I always assumed that, you know, as life, as you got on in life, you would start to question some of these things, and you'd question truth, and you'd question eternity, and you would change. But most people don't. And what I loved about Ralph's testimony is he got to a point where he said, no. Like, something has to change here. And that's been inspiring for me, because I thought, okay, Lord, you're doing that in someone's life where typically that doesn't happen. And so when I heard your story, Ralph, I'm thinking, okay, you were on this prodigal journey. The prodigal son comes home. And now that you're home, right? You've come home. The Lord has thrown the feast, thrown the robe on you. What I've seen from you in your life is that you're all in. To use a poker analogy, sometimes we check in life. We're not all in on the kingdom. There's times where we'll just check. And like you said, going through the motions, that type of thing. But God calls us to be all in. The kingdom is, you're either all in, or you don't experience it, is essentially what, when you read through the word. And so what I've seen out of Ralph is that he's been all in. Any prayer meeting that he can come to, he's coming. Anything else, any way he can experience the kingdom, he's been all in. And so I want to just ask you, Ralph, about your experience of going all in, right? Because you'd spent a life of checking when it came to the kingdom, but now you're all in. And I just, to me, it's an expression of God's goodness in your life. And I want you to kind of maybe explain what all in means for you.
Of this, I remain confident. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. That's the goodness of the Lord that I am seeing. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the verse in Isaiah where these people give with their mouths, it's so easy for me to drift away. You know, you get tired. You get overwhelmed. You get lazy. And I just, that verse comes to me and I just, wow. I have seen the goodness of the Lord. Many of you know the stories of Tim and Lori Brooks, the suffering that they went through, Tim with his cancer, Lori with her depression. And I was with Tim a week or so before he passed away. And we're talking, and he's in a lot of pain. And he said to me, he said, Ralph, he said, you know, you should check out Street Church. You'd really like it there. So I did. And I feel so blessed now. I've been there now over 2 years, going on three, working with the people off the streets, feeding them. And I just feel so blessed that I have two church families. And then, I don't know, it was a year or two later, I can't remember her name. She was one of the Faggy girls that passed away. We were at her celebration of life. And Joyce and I were sitting after the service in the basement at reception and sitting at a table, and we were against the wall, and we were looking out just like this. And I seen a young lady sit down at a table, and I was looking at her. It looked familiar. And then she looked up, and she looked at me. It's Lori Brooks. She would just look like I remember her from years ago. And the joy and just the joy in her face. And we looked at each other and our eyes met, and we just went to each other and gave each other a big hug. That's God's grace. That's the goodness of God in my life. And another thing that I really, it's kind of funny actually, I mentioned earlier, I'm not a man of patience. I'm, you know, okay, Lord, what's going on here? I've been praying for this. Our oldest son, 7 years. He's never spoken to us, never seen us. And all of a sudden now he's talking to us and he's telling us, I want to come home and it's going to happen. That's prayer that's been going on for 7 years by not only Joyce and I, but so many of you. And Joyce and I were talking about a week ago at the kitchen table, and I was talking, and I look at Joyce, and what was I talking about? And you know what she said to me? I don't know. And I thought, you know, a verse that the Lord put in my mind not long after I came back to him, and it's about Paul and the thorn in his side. And he says in there, and it just resonated with me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So therefore, I will boast all the more of my weakness so that Christ's power dwells on me. That is the goodness of God, and I've seen it and lived it.
Yeah, I love, Ralph, the way that you have scripture hidden in your heart. What has God's word meant to you in this walk? Like, what? Just take a minute to kind of think. What of cashing those checks? Right. I always talk about God's word. There's checks in there to cash. When we find checks to cash when we're desperate, what has that meant to you in your life?
Well, it's a story. Not long after, about a year, I started getting asked to give messages at celebrations of life. And man, the first time I did it, I was scared spitless. I said, I can't do this. But by the grace of God, I went and did it. And I got asked again, and I did it. I got asked again, and I did it. The fourth time I got asked, and it was different, and I felt, man, I cannot do this. It was a lady that was in our community at the farm for, what, Joyce, over 100 years. 104, I think, just about. And I was talking. I just come back from Street Church, and Joyce was standing there, and she looked at me. She said, you'll never know who just phoned me. I'm like, okay. She said, Dwayne, Ida passed away. And the nephew she wanted to do the service couldn't make it. So they asked, they want to know if you'll do it. And I said, no, I'm not doing it. I don't know this lady. I know of her, but I don't know this lady. And then Joyce puts the kicker in. She says, well, you'll probably have to do the gravesite service too. Nope, I ain't doing it. And right then and there, I had my cell phone sitting on the table, and it dinged. And it was my sister. And text, and she said, we haven't chatted for a while, and I want to how'd Street Church go today? I'm going to FaceTime her. Here's the Lord working. I'm going to FaceTime her. So I FaceTimed her, and we said our pleasantries, and she said, I've been told I'm supposed to talk to you. Oh, okay. And then it was just like, well, I got to tell her what's going on. So I told her what was going on. And she just looked at me and laughed. And she said, Ralph, God has got you right where he wants you. So I thought, great. We're going out to the farm. It's a long weekend in September. We're going to be in the motorhome. I don't have my quiet place in the motorhome or in the downstairs. I'm going to be in my motorhome. How am I going to concentrate? How am I going to hear the Lord? And a verse right away comes into my mind. And it's true right now. I come to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching to you is not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. And I went and I sat and I did the service. And after the service, after the reception and everybody was leaving and cleaning up, and one of Ida's granddaughters come up to me, the tears just flowing down her face. She said, I can't believe that you quoted Timothy 4. She said, I have been praying that verse all week. Timothy 4, I am being poured out. I feel like I'm being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Friends, that's the grace of our God. That's what he has done in my life. And there's so many other things.
Thanks, Ralph. Maybe just to kind of, a last question here is just reflecting on God's grace and just kind of going all in for the kingdom. Saying, no, I'm going all in. I'm going to gather with people that are hungry. What has that done for your life? What have you felt in that community, at whether it's street church downtown, whether it's some of the prayer groups that you go to? Just this commitment to others, this to say, I'm all in. Everything's for the kingdom. I don't know, maybe just talk a bit about that, how that's impacted you, those relationships.
Last year, Pastor Ben gave us a couple of verses to memorize. And as I spoke earlier, I'm not a patient man. And I just lately, the Lord has been showing me just through messages, through listening to programs, especially Pastor Rick Warren and Nikki Gumbel and the church right here. It's so easy for me to drift away, to get overwhelmed, to get tired. And sometimes the old Ralph still comes back. I still have that world that I'm fighting with the Lord and winning. I'm not the man I used to be. But, you know, it's as you drift and you don't realize it. And that verse, one of the verses that Brother Ben gave us was, will you not revive us again so that we may rejoice in you? We all need help. And that's where a church is so, so much needed. I mean, Jesus said, two are better than one. And when you're drifting away, when I'm drifting away, there's times that I don't want to go to a prayer meeting. I don't want to go to a Monday night prayer meeting. I don't even want to come to church. It's just, why should I go to church when I feel like I'm just living a lie? And I come to every meeting that I have come to, every time, and I mean every time, I have left feeling way better than I was when I entered. Will you not revive us again?
Yeah, and I really wanted Ralph to share because, you know, he gives his life at 10, comes back in the 60s. You know, there's 50 some years there that God is reviving. And I think about the prayers of your sister and your wife. And yeah, it's nobody's out of reach. And to keep praying. You know, I remember when Ralph came in, when his son, we'd been praying for his oldest son who was estranged from them for 7 years. Like, and it, as the year stretched on, I remember you praying with you guys and just, we're desperate, right? When Ralph came in my office and said, Sean called, the Bible says, you know, we're to carry each other's burdens, but we're also to rejoice with each other. And there was just something so powerful there that was released when Sean called home and that he could celebrate with his son. And so I for some of you guys that are out there with estranged relationships of people that you'd rather wish you weren't estranged from, keep praying and find people to pray with. Because, man, when that prayer is answered, when that hits, it's unexplainable. Sharing that joy with a brother in Christ. I'll never forget that. That it was a very powerful when God shows up and answers.
There's just one thing, well, a couple of things I wanted to share at the end that kind of tie it all in. When Brother Joel talked to me about this a week or so ago, and I said, oh yeah, not a problem. Because I have spoken with the Lord's help, I thought, oh, this is easy. I'm just going to come up here when Brother Joel calls me and let the Holy Spirit do his thing. Because I've proven to you that, well, Ralph sometimes can't even carry a sentence before he forgets. And I went on for a couple of days, and then you know how you start getting that feeling. You know, something's not right here. So, Friday, I think it was, I sat down and was talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you know, this idea of mine of just trusting in you and going up to the front and letting your spirit just carry me through, what do you think of that? Well, I got told right away, right now, that ain't going to happen. I got three words, right on tablets. Now, that right on tablet, I know that. I thought it was Nehemiah, but it wasn't. So I Googled it, Habakkuk. And I hadn't had time, but I thought Habakkuk was sort of kind of like Jonah, you know. He didn't like the way the world was going on, and he wanted the world to do something about it. Or he wanted the Lord to do something about it, and he wanted it done now. So he's waiting. He's going to go wait on the ramparts. And I'm thinking, well, you know, the Bible doesn't say how long he waited. But I'm thinking, well, if he kind of got himself into the situation I got myself into, he probably didn't wait very long. And, you know, the Lord replied, and he said, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time and will not delay, or will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. And the other thought that kind of ties in with that verse, I read this to the guys a couple of weeks ago at morning prayer, and it's a Francis Collins, and you ladies of the medical might have to help me with these names. This Francis Collins, a renowned physicist, geneticist, okay, noted for his service for 12 years as a director of the National Institute of Health and his leadership of the International Human Genome Team, a team of over 2,000 scientists who collaborated to determine the 3 billion letters in our human DNA. It's our own DNA instruction book. And he said, and I quote, I cannot see how nature could have created itself. Only a supernatural force that is outside of space and time could have done that. End of quote. And as I'm reading that, and I'm going through this verse that the Lord put on me, for the revelation waits an appointed time. God's got our lives all mapped out like our DNA. And he said that. Before he even created the world, he said, each and every one of us is going to have a specific purpose. Just what we are designed to do. And I'm thinking, you know, he says, wait. And I'm, yeah, I have my patience. But he also says, or wait, but we are in a relationship with God. And a relationship is a two-way street. So I'm thinking, is God waiting for me? What's God waiting for me to do? What's God waiting for you to do? It's all mapped out. You know what's going to happen because he says right in this verse, it waits an appointed time, and it will happen. It will not delay. So I just, that's my prayer for everyone is that, you know, you just, as Brother Joel said, pray, because boy, does it work.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks, Ralph. Yeah, for coming up here and being obedient in something that's not maybe something that you're getting more comfortable with. But I just really appreciate that. And, you know, we're going to pray here, but let's stay here, Ralph. No, if you've heard something in Ralph's testimony, one of the things that I've found in the kingdom is that if God has done something for somebody, they have the power to pray that over. There's a door unlocked that, if it's something you're struggling with, maybe it's an estrangement, have Ralph pray with you. I want what you got. I want that. Can you pray with me on that? Can you partner with me on that? So anyways, Ralph he doesn't know it, but we'll stick around at the front here and we'll pray with anybody who says, I heard you had this freedom and I want that for me or I want that for someone else. Because God can do powerful things. We're here to testify that God has answered prayers that we've prayed for in desperation. So thanks, guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that you're a father who invites his children home, and you have a robe and a ring and a feast waiting, and you desire for all your kids to go all in. I pray that Unity Baptist would become a church that goes all in, that we would die to the world, to our old self, as Ralph has shared today, and that we would go all in for the kingdom and for you. And that we would become people who know your word and obey your word and cling to your word in desperation. Thank you for these words that were spoken, and I pray that they would go further than beyond our wildest dreams. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name.
He's only prayed for 7 years for his son. And his mom, how long has she been gone, Joyce? So Joan's been gone for 7 years. Yeah. 11. So she prayed all those years for her son. And for 11 years, his sister and his wife, who went to church faithfully, sitting all by herself for years. And these ladies here were on Joan's praying team for Ralph. And it was a long time. And we're just so thankful for friends who pray faithfully. And we trust that that will encourage you too. And we just want to praise the Lord. It's just such a joy for us to see your mom's prayers answered over all those years. Every Sunday she'd come to church, or every time we had prayer time, Ralph was mentioned. So she didn't give up. So we just want to just give a praise to the Lord that he has worked so faithfully and for the generations to come. Thank you.
I just to end in what I was going along with is Another verse that the Lord has put in my mind that means so much, and it goes like this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, that as you trust in him, you will overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Rita. That was really awesome. Our prayers are more powerful than we realize. I'm convinced that we will leave this earth, and one of the things that we will look back on is that our prayers were more powerful than we ever understood. Sometimes, as Rita shared, we'll leave this earth without seeing prayers answered. But those prayers were answered, and they were answered by praying women in our church. And so I just encourage you guys, pray together as much as possible. God's word says that when two or more gathered, he's there. And if he's there, things are moving. So get together with people and pray. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read. Ben's giving me the authority to give you guys the blessing that he normally gives. So please take it from me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Go in peace and be encouraged that your prayers matter. Have a great week, everyone.